Well, good morning, Davis. Well, how are you? And for everyone who is joining us online today, wherever you may be, thank you so much for being here, whether you're ready for the day, whether you've just decided to stay in your pajamas all day and drink coffee, wherever you're at, I'm just really excited that you are here with us this morning online, and we're going to dive into God's Word. And so over the last few weeks, we've been talking through this idea of partnership. That's the series that we're in. And so what does it mean to partner with God, to partner with Davisville and accomplishing God's mission? And we've talked through things like gathering together. We've talked about giving. We've talked about serving. And today we start talking about learn. So what does it mean to learn? And what does that have to do with being in partnership with what God is doing? And before we dive into the word today, I wanted to help you learn a little bit about me. I thought that would be something neat that we could do this morning. And so I asked our ministry leaders here at Davisville to email me a question. If they had something that they wanted to learn about me, they emailed me the question, and I thought I would answer them right now. So I got a lot of good questions, and the first one is this. This comes from Caleb. He's part of our single and parenting ministry, and he wants to know, cake, cupcake, or cookies? So, good question, Caleb. Actually, my favorite is a cookie cake. So if I can answer that way, I will. It is just a big chocolate chip cookie with frosting on it. That is my favorite. So good question. Next question. This comes from Liz, and Liz leads The Porch, which is a ministry that meets on Tuesday nights that ministers to 18 to 35-year-olds. And she asks this, if you couldn't be a pastor, what career do you think you would be in and why? Good question, Liz. So first, let me start by saying I actually tried two other careers and then decided all I could be was a pastor. So the first thing I tried was this. I went down to Nashville, Tennessee, and I tried to break into the music industry. I went down, I wrote songs, I played it down, played around at different coffee houses, and I even made a CD, and I'm going to show that to you here. I made a CD. I was not successful, though, and I still have many of these CDs left. So if you're watching at home, when all this is over and you want a CD, I have plenty of copies, so you are more than welcome to come get one. The other job I tried was an insurance salesman. So I sold health and life insurance, and I was so bad that at the end of my employment, I owed the company money. That's not how a job works, but somehow I was so bad at it that I owed them money. So those are two things I tried, but if I couldn't be a pastor, I think I would love to be a professor at a school teaching Bible and teaching ministry. So thanks, Liz, for that question. Next one. This comes from Lewis. Lewis helps lead Mosaic, which is our older adults ministry, 55 and over. So what one choice that you made growing up would you change if you could go back in time? Wow. Three things come to mind right away. I know you asked for one, Lou, but I'm going to give you three. And so the first one is this. I should have married my wife way sooner. We dated for three and a half years, and that was too long. So I should have married my wife a lot sooner. That would be one thing I would go back and change. The second thing would have been my junior year in high school. I really walked away from the Lord and pursued things that I just shouldn't have been pursuing, and that just really took me far away from him. But praise God, he brought me back. And then the last thing is this, Lou. I had a family member who was passing away, who was getting ready to die. And so my mom had asked if I would go to the hospital with her and if I would share the gospel with this family member, the good news of Jesus Christ. And my mom figured that since I was in college preparing to be a pastor, that I would be a good choice to share the gospel. And so I got to the hospital and went into the room and chickened out. I chickened out, and I will forever regret that moment of not sharing the gospel with that family member who was passing away. I got one more question here, and this comes from Amy, who was our children's director. Did you ever buy something off the internet you regretted? Do tell! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, he. Yes, Amy, I have, and I will tell you that story. So I am a terrible gift giver. I am not good at buying gifts, and I always struggle with that. My wife is an incredible gift giver. Everything she gives to me, I love. And so Christmas was coming up, 2018, and I had no idea what to get her. And so probably like most husbands, I got on the internet and I Googled gift for your wife, right? And so I'm just kind of scrolling around and flipping around and I don't find anything that I like. And finally I'm on Facebook one time and this ad pops up on Facebook and it's this inflatable hot tub. And I thought, this is it. This is the gift. But after purchasing this inflatable hot tub, this is what came in the mail. An inflatable kiddie pool. I had spent $100 on this inflatable hot tub that I thought was going to be the best gift ever. My wife was so excited. And when this finally came in the mail, I was so mad. So mad. I had spent $100 on an inflatable kiddie pool. So I went back on the website and I could not find the web address. Apparently the company had shut down or something. I did have an email address, so I emailed the company and said, would you please respond to me because I have this inflatable kiddie pool that's expensive and I don't want it. And then lastly, when they didn't respond to my email, all I had left was a phone number. And so I called that phone number and some of you might get this, but I went Liam Neeson on them. When I called, I got on the phone and I said, I have a very particular set of skills and I will find you. And when I do, beep, please hang up and try again. And the phone just cut me off. And so I just said, forget it. And now I have this inflatable kiddie pool. So those are some of the questions that were asked of me. So hopefully just gave you a chance to learn a little bit about who I am. And there were other questions, as I said, and I didn't get to answer all of them here online for you, but there is a link. And if you go to this link, www.davisville.org/Q&A with Pastor Bobby, all lowercase, if you go there, you can see the other questions and you can see my responses. Now, don't do it now. You have to wait till I'm done. There's a group of people in the Bible who were learning together. There's a group of people who were together after Jesus had gone back up into heaven. He'd ascended back into heaven. And there's a group of people, and they're all around, and they're doing something. And Pastor Tim has been referencing Acts chapter 2 throughout this series, and so I want to do that as well. So up on your screen, you're going to see a verse from Acts chapter 2, and it says this. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. In that first line, you see that 3,000 people had come to know Jesus through the preaching of Peter in the chapter before, in the verses before. And after that, what they did is they gathered together and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What they did is they got together and they started to learn. They started to learn. It's exciting that 3,000 people in that moment were together and they were learning about Jesus. And as we continue our series on partnership, I want to talk about learning and what it means to learn and how that happens. But to do that, we have to go back before there were any disciples. I mean, how did the disciples get to this point where 3,000 people come to faith and they begin to learn together about Jesus Christ? We have to go back to the beginning. So we're going to turn in our Bibles. If you have your Bible, if you're at home on the laptop or you've got your phone, can you flip and turn or scroll, whatever you need to do, to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 22. And before we do that real quick, I would just love to pray right now. God, would you bless us as we open up your word, as we learn together. God, be with our hearts and our minds. Help us to focus on you and teach us your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, and Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. As we go back to the beginning, Jesus is going to give three commands to his disciples. And this is the first one that we're going to look at. And when Jesus comes upon these brothers, Peter and Andrew, and James and John, he gives them a command, and he says to them, "Follow me, follow me." And follow me has this idea of getting behind somebody or coming after somebody. So when Jesus came up to these fishermen, he said to them, "What I need you to do is I need you to get behind me. I need you to follow me. And as you follow me, what's going to happen is you're going to learn from me." And so Jesus would begin to walk. And what he wanted was for the disciples, these guys, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to be behind him. And as Jesus walked, they would walk with Jesus. And as Jesus heard things, they would hear the same things. As Jesus saw things, they would see the same things. And as Jesus experienced life, they would experience the same thing. And it was very common in this day to have people following after you. Rabbis would often have students. They called them Talmudim. And for the Jewish culture, there was a lot of learning that was going on in the synagogues. And so most young children would go to the synagogue about age 4 or 5, and they would begin to learn. And they would learn the faith, and they would learn about God and all the stories. And after a while, they would progress through Hebrew school or school at the synagogue, and they would move on to what we might call today something like junior high school. And then some of them would move on from junior high to what we would call high school. And so the rabbi would have, at some point, these followers, these best of the best of the best students, would approach a rabbi and say, "Can I follow you? Can I come after you? Can I leave everything that I know and learn from you?" And that's what Jesus is doing here. He is a rabbi. He is a teacher. And he's going to these four guys and he's saying, "Will you come after me? Will you learn not about me?" That's a key distinction. Not just learn about me, but to learn from me. And I want to ask yourself, I want you to ask yourself this question here. Will I learn from Jesus? Will I learn from Jesus? Jesus is calling us to follow him. He's calling us to learn about him and from him. And so would you learn from Jesus? Well, this isn't the only disciple that Jesus called. There's others. And so turn now to Luke chapter 5. Turn to Luke chapter 5. And in this passage, Jesus now comes upon a man named Levi. And Levi is a tax collector. So Luke chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 27 and 28. "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him. And Levi got up and left everything and followed him." So you've seen that phrase before. We just read in Matthew that Jesus said to the fisherman, "Follow me." And now Jesus comes upon Levi, a tax collector, and he says the exact same phrase. He says, "Follow me," except in Luke, it's a different word. So our Bibles translate it to mean "follow me," which is a great translation. But Jesus chooses a different word. And I want to explore that word because it's going to help us understand that it's not just learning that Jesus is calling us to do, but he's calling us to conform wholly to who Jesus is. When Jesus calls the fisherman, he says, "Get behind me, come after me." And when Jesus calls Levi, he adds some understanding to what it means to follow Jesus. And what he says now is he's saying, "I need you to come after me, but I need you to live like me. I need you to come after me, and I need you to live like me." It's not just learning from Jesus, but now it's living like Jesus. When I was younger, we belonged to a swim club. And at that swim club, they had a diving board. And so a lot of my friends and I, we would play this game called Follow the Leader off the diving board. And so the first person would go, and they would bounce down the board, and they would go up into the air, and they would do some trick or some flip, and then they would go into the water. And the point of the game was not for the people who were watching just to watch, but the game's called Follow the Leader. So the point of the game was that everyone who came after the leader would do the same exact trick. You didn't get to stay in the game. You didn't get credit in the game if all you did was watch the leader do something. You actually had to get up on the diving board yourself and do the same thing. You had to live it out. And going back to the rabbi and student illustration that I was talking about earlier, it wasn't that a student would just follow a rabbi around. The point is that a student would follow the rabbi so that the student would become like the rabbi, so that the student would then live like the rabbi. There's a verse in the book of James that I want to read to you, and it talks about something very similar. It says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. They will be blessed in what they do." And that comes out of James chapter 1. And James is writing to a group of Christians who are hearing the words of Jesus. They're reading some of the things that are written about Jesus. And James is saying it's not just enough to learn. It's not just enough to read. It's not just enough to sit in a classroom and hear these stories about Jesus. What James is really challenging us to do is to live it out. What you learn from Jesus, you have to live out. And at the end of James, it says this there, they will be blessed in what they do. There is blessing in living out what Jesus is teaching us. There's not blessing in learning about Jesus. There's blessing when you learn and then when you live as Jesus lived. I don't know what that blessing is. I'm not going to speculate, but this is what I know. It's better to live it out than to just learn it and be done with it. And so now we know that Jesus has called the disciples and he's saying to them, learn from me, come after me, come behind me. He's saying to them, you need to live like me. So I have another question for you. Will I live like Jesus? You may have answered that you will learn from Jesus, but that's not really what we're after today. What we're trying to get at is, will I live like Jesus? But even that's not the right question, because when Jesus calls Levi, he uses a different word. And within that word, when he says, follow me, there's something else that we didn't discuss. It's not just that we learn from Jesus or that we live like Jesus, but when Jesus says to Levi, follow me in Luke chapter 5, he's also saying this, even if it means dying. Even if it means dying. That's really what Jesus is calling these disciples to. So now we have to ask ourselves the full question. Will I live like Jesus even if it means dying? Now, I don't want you to walk out today and think if you decide to follow Jesus that you're now going to die. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that would you be willing? Would you be willing to learn from Jesus? Would you be willing to live like Jesus even if it meant that you died? See, at this point in the story, there are a lot of people who are following Jesus and they begin to turn away because they can't follow this message. This teaching is too hard, Jesus. And you see that in John chapter 6, a bunch of people, they just leave. They can't follow him anymore. But Jesus is calling us to live as he lived, even if it means dying. There's one more command in the Gospel of Matthew that I want to look at. And so I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has now assembled all of his disciples, minus Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus and is no longer with them. And in Matthew 28, it's the last chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and this is the last thing that Jesus says to his disciples. So we know that Jesus has called his disciples to learn from him. We know that Jesus has called his disciples to live like him, even if it means dying. But there's one more command that Jesus gives them as we talk about learn today and partnering with God and what he's doing in the world. And so I'm going to read this, Matthew 28. I'm going to start in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." We just sang about that this morning. Verse 20, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the last command that Jesus has. He told them two other things previously. He said, first, learn from me. Then he said to them, live like me. And now Jesus is telling his disciples to lead others to follow him. Follow me, live like me. And now Jesus, before he departs in the Gospel of Matthew, before the Gospel of Matthew ends, gathers his remaining disciples and he says, and I need you to help others learn too. I need you to do that. I need you to show others what I showed you. I need you to teach others what I taught you. Just as you followed behind me, I need you now to go out into all the world and find others who will come after you. And so that you will point them to me. So that you will point them to me. One of the last things in the rabbi-student relationship was not just that a rabbi had a student, but the idea was that the student themselves would have their own students one day. And that is when real discipleship happened. Not that somebody had a student, but that the student then became the teacher and had their own students. So let me ask you this question. Will I lead others? Will I lead others? In Matthew 28, Jesus is challenging us to not just learn, to not just live it out, but to lead others to do the same, to lead others to learn. It says in verse 19, to go and make disciples of all nations. That word disciple at its root has this meaning of learn. And so what Jesus is saying, we've now kind of come full circle. Jesus said to the disciples, I need you to come after me, get behind me and learn from me. And now Jesus is saying the same thing to the disciples. I need you to go into all the nations and I need you to learn them. Just as I have learned you. Will I lead others? Now, I know some of you, maybe not all of you, are thinking, well, I'm no leader. I'm no leader. I can't do that. I could learn, I could live, but I can't lead. And I wonder if a lot of people, when they looked at the disciples, thought the same thing of them. They were fishermen. They were hated tax collectors. One was a political zealot. One was a pessimist, doubting Thomas, who never believed anything. And then there were the others. And yet somehow Jesus believed in them. He believed that they could lead others. And he called them to do it. And so if you're here this morning and you're watching online and you're thinking, I can learn, I can live like Jesus, I'd be even willing to die if that's what it meant living for Jesus looked like, but I can't lead people. Well, look, here's the thing. I'm not asking you to be the next greatest leader in the world. I'm not asking you to lead thousands of people. I'm not asking you to lead hundreds, not even tens. Here's where I'm asking you to start, okay? Can you lead someone? Anyone? Just one? That's all I'm asking for this morning. Can you lead one person to learn from Jesus? Can you lead one person and help them then to live like Jesus? So think about it. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone in your neighborhood. You know, if you were here this morning, I would say maybe it's somebody sitting next to you in the pew that you've known for 5 years. But since you're not sitting there, maybe it's somebody sitting around the table with you looking at the laptop right now. Jesus has called us to learn from him, to live like him, and to lead others to follow him. And I want to go back to Acts chapter 2 because I need you to see how we got to Acts chapter 2. Do you remember that there were thousands of people and they were sitting around with the apostles and they were learning their teaching about Jesus? And so let me read this for you again. And it says, "And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer." And in verse 47 of Acts 2, it says this, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This passage is incredible. 3,000 people come to faith in Christ. And in verse 47 of Acts 2, we also see that daily people were being saved. Why? Because at some point a long time ago, Jesus said to some fishermen and some tax collectors and a political zealot and a pessimist, he said, "Follow me, learn from me." And that's where it started. That's where this all started. Acts chapter 2 started with some people who were willing to learn from Jesus. And that is why learning is so important. When we talk about partnership at Davisville, when we talk about partnering with God, you have to be a learner from Jesus. You cannot go out into the world. You cannot go out into the world and share the gospel. You cannot go out and see things change unless first you yourself are being changed by Jesus and what you're learning from him. And what you learn from him, then you must live out and put into practice. And eventually Jesus then calls you to lead others to do it. But it all starts, Acts chapter 2, the thousands of people coming to faith, those daily who are being saved. It all started with what? Jesus calling people to learn from him. And so that's where I want us to start, Davisville. As we partner together, as we partner to accomplish God's mission, will you commit to learning from Jesus? That was the first question I asked you. And yes, you need to live it out. And yes, you need to lead others to learn. But I just want this morning, for you to commit to learning from Jesus. I think about all the things that God could do through me if I just committed to learning from him. If I committed to learning from him and living as he lived, what might he do in the lives of those around me? What might he do in my own family? What might he be doing right now, right here, in this area of our world, as things are shut down? As people are maybe fearful. I wondered if this morning, if you started to learn from Jesus, if you made that commitment to learn from Jesus, I wonder this morning if maybe God could do something through what you're learning. Our mission here at Davisville is to influence people to fully follow Jesus. There is no greater cause than pointing people to Jesus Christ. And you see it in Acts chapter 2. Could you imagine if we were living in Acts chapter 2 right now and people by the thousands were coming to faith in Christ? Could you imagine at the end of this coronavirus that thousands of people came to faith in Jesus Christ? What an awesome celebration. That is God's mission for Davisville, that we would influence people to fully follow his son, Jesus Christ, that they would put their faith in Jesus and be saved, and then to learn from him, and then to live like him, and then to what? Lead others to fully follow Jesus. As I wrap up this morning, I'm really glad that you joined us today. I really am. And as we wrap up, I just want you to take a few moments. And I want you to reflect on what we said this morning. We talked about learning as a way to partner with Davisville and God's mission. But what have you been learning lately? Who have you been learning from? What have you been investing your time in? Has it been profitable? The commitment is to learn from Jesus, to be devoted to him. And I know sometimes we say we're busy, Well, I know nobody's busy for the next 2 weeks now. So that's not an excuse anymore. So as you're at home with your family, would you commit to learn from Jesus? Pastor Tim is going to come next week and he's going to talk about how we can learn and what it'll look like to learn and maybe some strategies for learning and some other ways that you can learn. And we're not going to get into that right now. But today, all I want you to do is to commit to partnering with what God is doing, to partner with Davisville by committing to learn from Jesus. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you are the sovereign Lord. We thank you that you are above all things, that you are King of Kings, and that you are Lord of Lords. God, we want to put all of our fears into your hands today in the following weeks, God. We want to put all of our struggles, all of our doubts, we want to put them at your feet, God. And we also want to set them aside so that, Lord, we can focus on you and that we can learn from you distraction-free. God, would you encourage us? Would you teach us through your word? As we pray, would you enlighten our hearts and our minds, God? As we sit around with each other at the dinner table and we talk about you, God, that you would just use that time as a blessing. Lord, thank you that your son, Jesus Christ, came and said, follow me. So God, today that we would follow you, that we would begin by learning from Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.